What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another Mount Rushmore edition of the Smart Guy Moment Smack Talk podcast. I'm your host, as always, Tony Bango, joined as always by Robert E. Felice.
Acknowledge us.
And Callum Wiggins.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge all of us by leaving a comment below on YouTube. While you're over there, of course, make sure that you click on all those good buttons that you could see on there, like the join button. Gets you access to the same thing as the Patreon. You go to patreon.com/smartguymoment, or you do the YouTube channel membership. You've got the Darkcast tier, the Pick Your Poison tier, way more than that if you have the spare change, and then, you know, we'll figure something out. But even $1 a month is something that is a great morale boost and help keeps the lights on here. Also, the little thanks button that we have on there is a good way to do that. But there are some free options entirely too. Double check that you're subscribed to this channel. Ring that notification bell to get those email alerts set up if you don't already have that for the pay-per-view point post shows and any other kind of live things that we do here. I'd like to do some more live things that aren't necessarily just the post shows, maybe more of like the live mock draft things, or I don't know, maybe even just live regular hot tags or something. So if you show more support for it, the more that we'll do it. Also, if you want to help us out on the monetary side of things, on the merchandise options, you got Redbubble and TeePublic. If you want to just chat it up, not only just hit that like button on YouTube and leave the comments and stuff, but also check out the Discord that we have. That server is up on that link that you can see. Go ahead and join up for that. Let's start getting into this Mount Rushmore, which this edition is going to focus on the Bloodline, as this is more prominent now than ever in WWE. It might be, you know, the kind of tail end of the, like, zenith of the Bloodline, depending on how WrestleMania pans out. There's, of course, a chance that it just gets stronger after WrestleMania, but I am crossing my fingers that Cody Rhodes wins that Universal Championship and that we see the cracks of the Bloodline form even wider and maybe get even a split between people, you know, with like The Rock and Roman Reigns and such. But The Rock is there, Roman Reigns is there. We finally had this giant graphic of the Anoa'i family that explained better what the whole perspective is of who is and isn't in the Bloodline. For
and they're still missing people, but that's another story.
They're missing people, and they had people that weren't on the Wikipedia page or on Reddit or other kind of, you know, posts that are out there. And
that's just not even counting the non-wrestlers. This is big family.
Yeah, I mean, each person you got to assume is, you know, there's multiple people that are out there that are just like, and then these are these cousins, and then these are these people that are just like accountants and, you know, work at Walmart or whatever the fuck. Like, it's as, but then again, we're not going to be discussing them today either, because we wouldn't be like third cousin twice removed named, you know, Hank is going to be one of the best tag team members or something. But, you know, we have a limited amount of people that we can work with on here. And I went ahead of time. I wrote down everybody that I could see on this list and everybody that I knew wasn't on the list but could be discussed. And I only came up with about 30 names because, again, even though the people that we can see on that big family tree aren't necessarily going to be people to put on, you know, even the worst list here or the all-star list by any means or anything. So I don't know if there is anybody that I don't have on this list, obviously, because I would have put them on there. As we go along here, we also want to know, you know, some other kind of ideas for Mount Rushmores the way that we've done in the past. We usually don't just do the four and then that's it, unless it's something that ends up being good enough debate that we end up going an hour or something like that on there. But I have a couple ideas in mind. The all-star list, the list of the women, the tag teams, the worst, the gimmicks, and the outsiders. Maybe on the spot we might think of some more. So jump yourselves in. Samoan Dynasty is going to get dissected here. The Mount Rushmore, of course, as you know, if you're brand new to this, it is the four people or four teams or whatever it might be, like for the designation, that we collectively agree on. So if it ends up being a 2-1 vote on somebody, they're in there. If it's unanimous, of course, they go in there. And if we are completely split and we just cannot decide on one of the options or whatever, then there's a little asterisk that'll go on that Wikipedia page. Anyway, with all that preamble out of the way, let me just quickly run down some of the people that we are going to be talking about here, just because, hey, might as well put the names out there. Obviously, we have Roman Reigns, Jimmy and Jey Uso, The Rock, we have Rikishi, we got Umaga, as well as Jamal. He went by both names. We have Rosie, Yokozuna, High Chief Pyotr Maivia, Solo Sikoa, Afa and Sika, Wild Samoans. We got Ava Rain, Manu. We've got people that have not been in WWE, like Jacob Fatu, LA Smooth, Lance Anoa'i, Zilla Fatu, Tonga Kid. There's also Samu is in there. And we have outsiders. Naomi, Rocky Johnson, Nia Jax, Jimmy Snuka, Tamina, Deuce or Sim Snuka, or you know, whatever variation of name you want to go with there. Haku, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, Hikuleo, Bad Luck Fale. Off the top of your heads.
Bad anybody, Luck Fale can... related to them in any way?
No, he's not there.
He's one of them outsider guys that I had seen on multiple lists, so I figured I'd throw him in there.
Is the big Babatunde on there somehow?
Is there anybody that you can think of off the top of your heads that I didn't mention?
No. Because we're going to get into the meat of it, but like, there's only so many top-notch names in this bloodline. First of all, it should be said, I think we're really going to get a worst out of the Samoan dynasty because they're all relatively very good at their job. Even the worst of the worst is pretty good, with the scant exception here and there.
Oh, the scant exception here and there are the ones that are going to be going on the list. I'm going to share my screen with these guys. You people listening to the podcast don't necessarily need to see the worksheet, essentially. We're going to be saying the names out loud and stuff, and it's not like you're missing out on anything other than an Excel spreadsheet. It's like, ooh, that's really exciting, you know? But that way they can, you know, see this, list at like a quick kind of thing. I think we pretty much just lock in a few names from that potential, major, like the all-star Mount Rushmore right out of the gate and just be like, all right, well, we know we're going, The Rock is going to be on there. We know we're going Roman Reigns. I don't think there's going to be any debate about those two, right?
No, but half the work is done. Do we want to just have the big debate right now whether it should be the Usos or the Wild Samoans?
I wouldn't even go in that direction. I would go in a different direction here. Gallum, any thoughts about... Debates about Rock and Roman, or... Well, hold on.
Yeah, I'm really going to debate that the Rock and Roman Reigns shouldn't be in the All-Star thing.
Well, hold on. Know, you haven't said anything in a while. If you're going to piss
Why did you group Ava?
Yeah. I threw her name in there, and it's not...
I'm waiting until we actually have something to debate, rather than, like, the Rock and Roman Reigns. Like, yeah, there's like... And everyone that's listening knows that that's, like, the obvious step to take. When Rob's saying, like, whether we're going to put either the Wild Samoans or the Usos in there, that could be something that's worth talking about. But yeah, it's whether you're trying to separate out singles and tag teams into different ones instead.
See, that's where I go. I wouldn't go Rock, Roman, and then group the Usos, and then group the Wild Samoans. I would then go... Okay, well, Usos and Wild Samoans are guaranteed for the tag team list. there's not a whole lot of tag teams to work with to begin with, but yeah, I mean, that's, it's a given. So I might as well even just be like, all right, Wild, Samoans, the Usos, that's already two of the tag teams there. But I wouldn't, for instance, go like Rock, Roman, and then round out the four main all-star Mount Rushmore with Jimmy and Jay, or to lump them into the Usos. I would make the argument Rikishi, Umaga, Yokozuna, High Chief Peter Maivia. There's four names right there that could go in as solo acts for those solo two remaining spots.
Go in as a solo act.
Solo at this point hasn't reached anywhere near the level that I would consider him for Mount Rushmore.
No, but if we're being honest, I mean, like, I'm not putting Kish in as a solo.
I'd make the argument that he could be in there.
Not with this group. Jey Uso alone right now is working his way up to being on there solo, let alone, obviously, the Usos should probably get the all-star tag team nod, but there's also Yoko, I think we can talk about, because Yoko's the first in the bloodline to, like, win the WWE title. He, you know, was the first strong representation, despite actually representing Japan on camera, for the family. I think Yoko, there's some debate there.
Yoko would be the main one that I would pick for number three. He did have more success than Umaga, Rikishi, obviously. Yeah, I'm not voting solo. If I were to go and put a tag team in there, I'd put the Usos in over the Wild Samoans. So, in my mind, Yoko is worthy of that third spot.
Yoko's probably, like, out of all these other ones, the most revered and successful, at least to a Western audience. Outside of The Rock and Roman Reigns, the two-time WWE champion, a tag team champion, main evented. Main event two WrestleManias. So yeah, in terms of those ones, he's quite standout, even though his career was demonstrably shorter, or at least his higher-level wrestling career was demonstrably shorter than a lot of the other ones. I think that he's definitely definitely the forerunner out of all of them.
So if you had to nominate a fourth one, Callum, assuming that Yoko could potentially be our third, which it's not necessarily locked in yet, but who would you go for fourth?
Peter Maivia.
So make the case for Peter Maivia, because right now I would lean more towards either Rikishi or Umaga, or to throw the Usos in there as the tag team thing than to go Peter Maivia. But I see that there's definitely an argument for there.
I'd say that Peter Maivia is, and I know this is necessarily the thing for the Mount Rushmore, but he is the standard bearer of this family, even though he's technically not an Anoa'i, he's Maivia instead. But I think that he has more of a lasting impact on the way this, not just this entire family, but just in wrestling in general, just through the stuff that he did through all the different NWA stuff, his work in obviously in Samoa, New Zealand, Australia. It's more of a global lasting impact. I mean, there's technically an argument that you can make that rather than Peter Maivia, his wife going in instead, Leah Maivia. But again, we've got a women's section, so he might be able to go that instead because she was like one of the heavier wrestling promoters in that area as well. Umaga, I'm a huge fan of Umaga's work. I think that he was an excellent wrestler for his time in WWE. Multiple time Intercontinental Champion, was involved in like arguably the most talked about match at WrestleMania 23. But I think that both him and Rikishi, their impact is kind of, you know, limited. It's kind of confined. It's very like Rikishi was kind of only like a big deal in WWE for about 2-3 years, and then he kind of got cycled out. Umaga, like all the stuff that he did prior to that, where he was the Sultan, right?
Rikishi. Off the top of my head, he started off as the head shrinker Fatu, then became just Fatu, where he was like you know,
fatso.
Yeah, like, you know, I can hang out with kids on the street and, you know, that kind of like, yeah. That's an awful fucking kid. It was so stupid, even back then, which, like, yeah, back then, you're talking new generation where it's, there's a limited amount of cheese that you can accept, but man, I remember that being so dumb. And then he goes into, actually, did he go straight into Sultan, or did he have a kind of a go-between?
So real quick, so Rosie and Samu come to WWE as like they're thugs, and they're gonna convince him not to make a difference, but to sell out and make money the easy way. And then they all get fired, and then he comes back as a Sultan.
No, and then eventually they're just Rikishi. Then of course he leaves. He goes by Kishi because he can't go with Rikishi.
Did he go by Junior Fatu?
Yeah, that was in TNA.
Junior, out of all the names to give him. He's mostly known by the name Rikishi more than anything else.
But I think that, like, as like Too Cool was super over during the Attitude Era as a collective, and Rikishi was the biggest part of that, both literally and figuratively. But I think that, yes, like, it's a very, like, you know, he was just one more over act in a sea of completely over mid-card acts, and Umaga was just, you know, another excellent worker, but another just part of the machine, where Yokozuna stood out for the time that he was in as being like this, like, larger than life character and individual, and was kind of had a lot of the TV and the shows built around him. And Peter Maivia is both the kind of the foundation of this dynasty and had a bit more of a lasting impact areas. Just because it didn't happen in WWE doesn't mean that he didn't have like this huge lasting impact on the larger wrestling landscape. So I'd say that his impact is far greater, succeeds both Rikishi and Umaga.
Rikishi and Umaga to me almost feel like they're on the same level. So it'd be hard for me to judge necessarily one or the other. They're both former Intercontinental Champions that could have at some point won a world title if a few things had gone a little differently. I think that if we would have had two world champions from, you know, pretty much the, you know, Attitude Era onward, Rikishi might have won at some point. Probably wouldn't have had a long title reign, or maybe not necessarily even have a second one. I think Umaga almost assuredly would have won something if a few things would have gone a little differently. He had some big spots for WrestleManias in the past, like that whole, you know, Donald Trump and Vince McMahon thing. He's treated like a pretty big deal when it comes to like that upper mid card sort of range, but never cracked that main event level in the same way as, you know, Yokozuna or The Rock or Roman. Certainly not as The Rock or Roman Reigns. It kind of feels like to me, all right, like, I'd say we pretty much should lock in Yoko then, right? All three of us.
If we're absolutely determined not to group Usos, the All-Stars, or the Wild Samoans for that matter, then yeah, lock in Yoko. And I'm going to deviate and say it should probably be Leah Maivia and not the High Chief.
So, I mean, what we could do, the argument seems to be, is it the Usos together? Is it High Chief Peter Maivia? Is it Leah? Or is it basically, do you go with one of those kind of Rikishi Umaga types? I think I'd lean more towards putting them in the B tier and then going in another direction. The Usos as a tag team, I mean, we've done tag teams in the Mount Rushmore before and just been like, they're so tied together that you can't necessarily separate them, because if one of them would have came in by themselves, they wouldn't have been as successful versus, you know, I mean, if it would have been, you know, even Jimmy Uso doesn't have the same level as Jay, so you got to assume that Jay would be the one higher up. But I wouldn't put, like, say, Jay on the A list and then Jimmy on the B. Like, it would basically have to be like the Usos as a group. So Usos as a group, or High Chief Peter Maivia, or we go with Leah. Those three options, I think, make more sense to me than Rikishi or Umaga. I think Rikishi and Umaga as like a B tier makes a little bit more sense. And then I don't know who would be number three and number four when it comes to that. But yeah, that's up for another side of the debate. Out of the High Chief Peter Maivia, Lee Maivia, Usos, I mean, if we're all cool with grouping them, I'd go Usos.
I mean, I'd still go with Peter Maivia as, I say, the foundation and having more of a seismic impact for the wrestling landscape than the Usos. And I'd say the Usos are definitely high in the discussion. They've main evented WrestleMania. They're one of the most decorated tag teams in WWE's history. But as I say, I think that especially in a WWE landscape where tag teams aren't heavily featured for the most part, I think that they don't have as much of a significant impact in wrestling than the others, than Peter Maivia does. So yeah, I'm still sticking with Peter Maivia as my choice out of the two. And Rob seemingly would want to go with Leah out of the three of them, so we're in a bit of a stalemate in that regard.
So that makes that interesting, because whatever the ones we wouldn't go with, they would be kind of defaulting into the B tier. And if it comes to splitting some of that up, we could have Rikishi, Umaga, the Usos, and then either Peter or Leah in the B tier. We could do, which there could be an argument that like Leah is more influential in some ways, and there's an argument that Peter Maivia is more influential. I mean, the guy is in the High Chief role, so it's like that kind of gives a little bit of weight in that way. But then again, you look back in the past and it's like, well, you know, who's to say that he's not High Chief just because it's a masculine dominated society around that time frame, and that, you know, Leah is the one really calling the shots and stuff. The ranking system might end up coming into play here. We might have to go like 1, 2, and 3 and then kind of balance it out that way. For the sake of it, I'm going to put down our names on our little spreadsheet thing. Between Peter, Leah, and the Usos, I would go Usos, and then Peter, and then Leah, I think, if not just for the High Chief aspect of that. If you had to rank those three, how would you rank them, Cal?
Peter, Leah, and then the Usos. And I don't know if he's back yet to answer it, but I could say with almost certainty that Rob's order is Leah, the Usos, and then Peter Maivia.
Rob stepped aside for a second, but that's most likely going to be the case, which would be like the absolute worst case scenario, because it would be a deadlock on that, as like the mathematics couldn't work out any better to be deadlocked, right? We'll have to see. You back there, Rob?
Yeah, let's see where we're at here.
We're trying to get the ranking system of the three in mind, so Usos, Peter Maivia, Leah Maivia. Who do you rank 1, 2, and 3 out of that?
So it's 1, Leah 2, Peter 3.
That's where you go, Leah, Peter, then Usos?
No, I said Usos 1.
Oh, I thought then you said... Okay, so then that's 2 Usos, number 1. Leah gets 2 votes for number 2. Peter's 1, 2, and 3. I assume the math then works out. Usos, then...
Then Peter, and then Leah.
Peter, then, yeah. Which I guess at that point, if the Usos are ranked number one, then they would be A tier, and then Peter and Leah for B tier together. Yeah, they're, you know, in a different tag team situation. I mean, we could do this too. We could tag up Peter and Leah and put Wild Samoans also in the All-Star B tier. If we wanted to go in that direction and just be like, all right, well, if we're allowing tag teams, Peter and Leah, it's not a tag team in that high, like, kind of sense, but like, yeah, they're a tag team in life.
Yeah. I mean, I could see putting them together because it's mainly for their promotional stuff. I mean, obviously Peter was the wrestler as well, but it's a lot of their promotional stuff going together would be, obviously both when they were both promoting at the same time, and then when Peter died and Leah was continuing to promote the their business, then yeah. But I think that they could be probably be grouped together for that reason.
And if we did that, I think probably there's no arguments against Wild Samoans being that fourth one, right? I don't think anybody's really going to be like, you know.
Yeah, like I said,
Solo beats them out.
Like I said, they could have been an argument for them to be in the A tier, so.
Mm-hmm. So that's an A and a B tier as far as just like a generalized.
All right, I'm going to be a little mean here, but whatever. Do we need a woman tier here? What is it? Naya?
We don't necessarily need one, but at the same time, it's worth, you know, discussing the idea in general. Because that's when we have to start branching out and getting a little bit more into the outsiders. Because if we went pure, like, you know, Anoa'i family on that tree that doesn't have the little sidebar stuff, I don't think we have four. Like, Ava, Leah, Atta. That's it, right? That's only the only three. And it's like the idea of throwing Ava in there is kind of ridiculous to me. So that's when we start getting into, okay, well, Naomi, Nia Jax, Tamina. Those three are technically in the family considered, but also at the same time, not really. We're only working with six names, but. You know, if there
is Barbarian on this list?
What was his affiliation?
First of all, he was the head shrinker that took over for Sanlu. I don't know if they're blood though, but then it gets confusing. Let me check. Because he was head shrinker Sione.
Sione has, well, I mean, Sione's Tongan, but let me see if that's has he ever been classified as part of that? I don't think I came across his name on there.
The reason I'm asking is because then we can get into, like, Thing and Barbarian is a good tag team. And also just Lady Tapa, maybe? Because not that too many people are going to talk about Lady Tapa outside of me. You know, just in case.
So I mean, far on the yeah. Things I'm searching, I'm not coming across him.
Nothing in his Wikipedia page mentions the Anoa'i family. So
that's crazy, man.
But I mean, they just put him in the tag team because he's Tongan. So that's like that's just them saying, "Oh, you look vaguely like this person. You're clearly part of their family." I
mean, the thing started with the blood oath. Where do we draw the line here?
To be fair, I don't think they ever referred to them as, like, true family, right? The head drinkers? When it's Sione? Isn't it just like, well, you know, I mean, that's kind of like tagging up Edge and Christian and calling them like brothers or something, like, you know?
I have no idea. I just know for a fact that he was there, and I know that he was a good partner with Ming, who I believe is also on the list. And I just thought, hey, that's another one to throw in there. We're not going to break the bank if we don't talk about the Barbarian, I'm just saying.
I mean, no, he could be a name to toss into the outsiders list, for instance, to be like, you know, it's not... That's where like the lines get blurred a little bit. Lady Tapa to me wouldn't get a spot on the women's list over four of the other names, though. I'd go...
Ava.
Well, Ava, I wouldn't. I mean, on the women's list, we got to put Leah, you would assume, because we put her in the overall list.
She's the most important. She's arguably the most important member of the family.
Right. I think there's a case for Atta.
The Rock's mother?
Mm-hmm.
For what purpose?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the bait, like, where does the Mount Rushmore come in when it comes to the promotional side of things and, like, keeping the family together? And
Calvin, correct me if I'm wrong. Does this woman promote anything? I thought she was just literally The Rock's mother.
She's listed as a she isn't really. Yeah, she isn't involved in the.
Yeah, wait a minute.
She's just The Rock's mother.
I mean, that's enough to get you on the Mount Rushmore. I mean, in somebody's eyes, surely.
Does she not have like any experience working?
Well, she probably did some stuff when like as most wrestling promotions are, is some areas are like a family business. So maybe she had some involvement, but she didn't like take over the business once her parents were unable to do so anymore. It's not like she was ever classed as like a promoter for the company. So
true. Yeah, I guess so. Well, I mean, we do have those outsiders. We do have Nia Jax. We do have Tamina. We do have Naomi. Kind of by default over them, over Ava.
I think Naomi's even a little kabuki-ish, but all out.
Well, I think that, the only one that I would consider even somewhat worthy of being on that list is Nia Jax because of the fact that she's won the women's title and his like illegitimate cousin of The Rock. Whereas Naomi's obviously just married into it via the relationship with Jimmy Uso.
Right.
Which I guess like you could say is somewhat fine. Like her surname is Fatu, so you know it's like she is part of that family. Tamina, I would just avoid because I'm not putting Jimmy Snuka on any of these lists. And so I don't. And again, it's not like the daughter. It shouldn't be a case like the daughter has to pay for the crimes of the father. But
it's not like Tamina's done all that great.
No,
either,
she's got one WWE tag team title reign out of her like what 13, 14, 15 year WWE career. It feels like it's been longer than that.
Hey, don't forget she won that 24/7 title too.
Oh yeah,
that's a real game changer, right?
But that's to say that the women's side is a bit like weak in this Samoan dynasty. They need to start producing more women's wrestlers from that dynasty.
Yeah, start pumping out those kids and get some of the women in there instead. Rikishi, you've had a whole bunch of kids. Come on. So, I mean, it's kind of like that's one of those Mount Rushmore lists that's not really like a Mount Rushmore. It's just sort of here's the options and what we can go for. Scrapping
it before we started hurting feelings.
We've done enough of that now.
They know what the deal is. It's not like we don't have like a list of 40 people to work with and that they all suck and we're like, nah, fuck you, we don't want to do it, kind of a thing. But that should bring up the discussion of the worst, because the worst Mount Rushmore is a completely different scenario than the best Mount Rushmore. That's when we can start getting into some of these names that are on this list that we just didn't bother to bring up at all, because ain't no way anybody was going to suggest Manu for the main Mount Rushmore, but he is the first person that I think of when it comes to somebody we can put on the worst list.
All right, but I'm gonna kind of say this like I said with the women. Just like Leo was the first and only I could think of for the women, can you really think of anybody on that level with Manu?
Maybe a wrestler who's a gimmick for a certain while was shit. Maybe that could be the one that is in the worst as well.
See, I like 3-Minute Warning, though.
Ugh, 3-Minute Warning sucks. It was such a waste of Umaga's potential to be part of this gimmick, where essentially all they did was be at Eric Bischoff's bidding, and the most noteworthy thing they ever did in their time in WWE was beat up lesbians.
For the same thing.
This is even funnier to me out of context because I did not see.
Oh, you never saw the lesbians?
Who
are literally brought onto an episode of Raw with the title card saying the lesbians.
The lesbians.
I have very little knowledge and experience of watching old Rosie and Jamal stuff to the point that, like, I have to like really actively think that Umaga used to be Jamal because I never really imagined that that's the case. So I did not see this this angle. I'm gonna have to just Google this real quick.
Just Google the lesbians WWE Raw real quick.
So say like this is the only thing. Like there are a few things that I recall Jamal and Rosie from. The first one of which, because I know from our time doing the
it literally says the lesbians.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my god, why?
Close the show with. They promised people they were going to close the show
with HLO,
with hot lesbian action, and they had Rosie and Jamal beat up these unnamed supposed lesbians.
And they're not even like.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
They're not even like trying. It's just the lesbians. Oh. Like, it's not even, like, I don't see anything on here, like,
names,
like, the lesbians, like, I don't know, Dana and Tina
or something.
Like, it's just, all it says is the lesbians.
Well, yeah, well, that's, they didn't, no one cared what their names were, they just wanted to see
them
make out. Yeah. that's the thing, this is, like, early post Attitude Era WWE, where ratings are going through the floor and interest is dying off in the product, and so they're trying to do anything to get ratings. And this is part of like just Eric Bischoff's gimmick coming in, was just, oh, he's just gonna do these crazy things like the spin the wheel gimmick whenever they're in Las Vegas, and then bring in hot lesbian action and do and ladder matches on live TV and stuff,
and then wear a Vince McMahon mask and make out with his daughter. Weird time.
As I say, the other thing that I recall, Rosie and Jamal, one of the other main things that I recall Rosie and Jamal being in when 3 Minute Warning, was that they interrupted the gay wedding of Billy and Chuck.
That was legitimately a funny segment. That's a, for WWE TV at the time, good segment. Probably the best thing Rosie and Jamal ever did in that iteration. Yeah, I guess we've kind of made the point for Rosie to go on this worst list, didn't we?
I've been trying to find the information of these women's names. I can only find one of them is Looney Lane, I guess, was her like main.
There were two OVW.
They were a couple of indie wrestlers, I think.
Yeah, but I can't find even the other one's name. That's why I was like, they didn't even bother to put like the lesbians, Looney Lane, and blah 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 or something.
I'm sure the Observer would know what it was.
There's some guy out there that cataloged all this for some reason. I mean, Rosie and Jamal, I could see them being possibilities, either together or separate, depending on the other ones.
I mean, if we're going to do that, we're going to put Jamal on the bad and Umaga on the good. I suppose we could throw the Sultan in there, can't we?
Will make a difference, Fatu.
I don't know. Like that. I wonder where like the crossover blurring the lines gets when it comes to like, because Yokozuna, they don't really go out of their way to do it, but officially in kayfabe, he's a Samoan guy that goes to Japan and is a Yokozuna as opposed to a Japanese guy.
Now hold on, because they don't really ever suggest that he is.
Well, they allow him to even be like, you know, like pro Samoa for like, you know, you're shouting into the camera and stuff like that, and they bill him as being, you know, like with Mr. Fuji and stuff, but it's not like, oh, look at this Japanese guy. It's just like, you know, it's kind of,
I mean, Hulk
Hogan, they skirt around it and stuff. Yeah. But I don't think that there's any instance whatsoever, from what I can recall, of the Sultan being treated as anything other than he is the Sultan. Like, not like it's like, ah, oh man, Fatu has been converted over the way that, like, you know, Sergeant Slaughter is now an Iraqi sympathizer, as opposed to being an Iraqi-born person or anything. I don't think that they ever did. I think that Sultan's just flat out the Sultan. But then again, you know, I mean, we're playing around with...
Sabu for that. Isn't that the rumor?
I think there had been something out there about
that.
They
wanted Sabu and they got Rikishi.
Sultan was awful, though. Like, there's an argument to be made to put that on the list just for being, like...
Because I don't know enough about LA Smooth.
Yeah.
Samu is fucking great. We're going to talk about the head shrinkers when we get to tag teams. Samu is great. Lance is fine. He's not Manu and he's not Roman Reigns. He's just perfectly fine. Zilla just started. You can't really rank him. And Tonga Kid, probably going to end up putting the Islanders as another tag team.
You know, I'll flat out say I am completely not familiar with LA Smooth, Lance Anoa'i, Zilla, Tonga Kid. I don't know a damn thing about them.
Lance once wrestled Shane McMahon when he was doing that gimmick where he was feuding with Roman. He's fine. I've seen him in MLW. I've seen his indie stuff. For a while, he literally looked like the third Uso. When the Usos still had the hair and the face paint. And again, Samu.
Does he look more like the third Uso than Solo does?
Yeah. But when they had that look, yeah, he did.
So when it comes to worst, Manu's name's out there, Rosie, Jamal, Sultan potentially. It's hard for me to justify jumping straight to putting Ava on there
and being
worse, but she's not great. So it's
well, you guys will beat me 2 out of 3. I don't think she's that bad, but I know she's good enough.
Ava.
So why don't you group 3-minute warning and then just leave Sultan?
Well, because I think Rosie. Putting Rosie and Jamal together, it's not a 3-minute warning or just bad on its own. Rosie was also a superhero in training.
Oh yeah, he was also shit.
I don't think Jamal should be on it because he's Imaga, and I don't think that Jamal should be lumped into that because he got a good gimmick later on. And
no way. Well, then if we're gonna start fucking with outsiders, Tim Snuka.
Well, we could throw outsiders in there, and if we throw out
no questions,
if we throw outsiders in there, Sim Snuka, Tamina, given the two, I'll say this: given if we had to pick,
compared to that, man, come on, the man said, "My name is Sim Snuka," got no entrance, got kicked in the head by Randy Orton, and his last task that I know of was please catch the Undertaker and down with the Undertaker.
Man, so again, for context, for anybody who might be somewhat new to the podcast that hasn't been listening for like 10 plus years or whatever, I hadn't been watching wrestling from around very early 2000. I don't know if I even was watching for Royal Rumble 2000, let's put it that way. Into sometime in 2006, can't really track it. I know DX was back together by the time I started to get back, because that was the reason why, is because Chris Dace was like, hey, by the way, you know, DX is back together. And I'm like, oh shit, let me check it out. And I know that I was like tapped in by WrestleMania 23, probably maybe WrestleMania 22. I don't know. Point being, I have no fondness for Deuce and Domino. Zero. I thought that they sucked. I didn't like the act. I didn't like the trio with them and Cherry. I fucking hate things like Grease and doo-wop.
That's the next question I was going to have.
Like doo-wop type stuff.
I don't like Grease.
Everything about it. And I'm not even exaggerating. Everything about that aesthetic, I fucking hate. The stupid black and white tiles, the like doo-wop, shoo-wop, no, awful. Grease, I think, is a shit movie. John Travolta's stupid in that. There's a place that was around me called Nifty Fifties. They didn't even make fucking good food. So it's like, not a fan of that whatsoever. And then they get this chance to do something else with Sim Snuka. And I remember this fondly being like, oh shit, maybe he's got something to offer because they're bringing him into this legacy group. And I'm already liking Cody Rhodes. I'm already liking Ted DiBiase. Randy Orton's fucking great. I don't know who this Manu guy is, but his name's garbage. So let's see what happens there, because there's no chance I thought anything other than manure, and I always have. And I'm like, well, yeah, maybe Sim Snuka, maybe on his own, he ditches the doo-wop thing and ends up being okay. And it's like, almost immediately, never mind. And the fact that they had those two in Legacy, and they could have had some other people, like Joe Hennig was around that time. Richie Steamboat, I believe, was still around at that time.
Joe Hennig was considered. Brett DiBiase.
That's right.
I believe Wyatt, Rotunda's kids were considered, you know, like.
They might have had a few other ones even too. I know that technically Slam Master Jay is Gordy's kid, but like they weren't going to do anything with him. But like I remember thinking, like, man, Richie Steamboat's there, and you know, Brett DiBiase and all that. Who is this whole Manu and Sim Snuka thing? And for them to that quickly just go, wow, you know what? This group of five, where we could use those two as the ones to lose everything, would be better off if we just didn't fucking have them, is a real testament to how bad those two were.
For the record, I actually thought when it was DiBiase and Rhodes, and they brought in Manu, before Randy came and looked at the three of them and said, I'm the leader now, I thought he was a fine, like, silent killer type. But for them to drop him so quickly, like, he had to just not be good, because you don't just drop a Samoan, no pun intended. It doesn't happen, except for this one guy. Ah, good times.
There's nothing that I had seen from Manu that I thought was, like, that he even should have been brought up to the main roster, to be honest. Sim Snuka, I thought, was a little bit better than Manu.
I mean, yeah, he at least had the built-in credibility of, like, I might not like Deuce and Domino, but... okay, former tag team champion. He's a Snuka. Maybe this is going to lead to something.
He might not be a quote-unquote good hand, but he's a hand.
He was a hand.
And then that hand couldn't catch the Undertaker. So it's like, if we're allowing the outsiders to go under the worst list, you're not going to hear an argument against.
I say you remove Jamal completely and just remove Jamal and the Sultan and just make it...
And then, Tamina's name was brought up.
I think even when you're comparing the two, you're going to leave Ava as the female representative. It's Deuce. It's Sim Snuka.
If I had to pick between Tamina and Sim Snuka...
one of them is still employed by the company.
Yeah.
The other one was gone before his sister even got there.
There's a little part of me. It's not a big part of me. I'll say this. There's a little part of me that thinks that Tamina got a bad rap. I don't think Tamina's great. Don't take this into like, okay, Tony's making this argument that Tamina should have won the fucking world championship or something. Not at all. I don't think there's been a single Tamina promo, for instance, that she hasn't stumbled over her words for, even if her words are essentially, I disagree. Like, I still remember that one where she said somebody else's lines. Like, forget whose lines it was, but it was like Shayna Baszler or somebody was like, you know, hey, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to shut it for you. And then Tamina's like, yeah, well, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to shut it for you. And it's like, and they just say that.
So Tamina legitimately has done two things that have stood out to me. One was her debut alongside the Usos, because I was super excited for that versus the Hart Dynasty.
Yeah, that seemed cool. It was like Offset Natty, she's tall.
And the other was the weird, I'm doing straight jacket promo, LOL, just kidding. 2 days later, that's done with, and I'm just going to fight Bayley in a nondescript championship match. Because during the pandemic, they decided, let's give Tamina her flowers.
And she did win the tag titles with Natty, so it's like...
I mean, yes, and so did Deuce, but arguably, at least Tamina had Natty.
Yeah, and for all the people that might be like, oh, Nia Jax should be on there or whatever like that, oh, Nia has Nia her, Jax, like, this, she has the reasons to be criticized and all, but at the same time, Nia's way more successful than Tamina.
And this run has been really good for her. I've got no problems with Nia since she came back.
Surprisingly, a pretty fun run for her that nobody that I'm aware of has gotten injured. Even though she came in and immediately started slapping people around and, you know, landing on their chest and, you know, kind of potentially hurting them. I'd put on the worst, I think Manu, Rosie, Ava, and Deuce is a pretty good list for the worst. Any arguments against those four, Callum?
Up the Deuce.
No, they seem pretty safe.
On the tag teams, we've mentioned a couple things already. Like now, Wild Samoans and the Usos, they're locked in. They're obvious, you know, whatever. I don't think that's necessarily the case when it comes to Rosie and Jamal.
what do you mean?
Technically speaking, Nia Jax and Tamina is a tag team.
If we need to cross that bridge, we've done something very wrong.
So, I mean, we have Head Shrinkers, we've got Nia Jax, Tamina, we've got Rosie, Jamal. What other tag team options do we even have to necessarily throw in?
We've got the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah. If we're going to talk about Haku, you got Gorillas of Destiny, you've got Haku. I got Haku and Rikishi. I was going to say Haku and the Barbarian. But we've ruled out Barb.
It's like Barbara or something.
We got, I don't know who the other Islander is, but I know one of them's Tonga Kid. Is the other one Haku? There's also the MLW tag team with the Samoan Spot team, which would be Jacob and Lance. We can also get real cheeky right now and just say the Bloodline.
No, I don't think that's I don't think we can play that into that one too much.
Let's see. Well, first of all, let me just say Head Shrinkers are on there. We want to call them the Head Shrinkers of the Samoan Spot team. They're good. Like, Samu and Fatu were doing moves that people wouldn't catch on to for another 5-6 years. They're
Head Shrinkers would get a vote for me too.
They're just, again, Samoans are just not bad at wrestling. That's why it's like
you really have to mess up.
I mean, that's that makes him stand out so much. I love the Samoan Spot team. I think with Heyman in WCW, they were great. With Afa, just doing the, you know, the savage kind of gimmick, they were really good. Had a great match with WrestleMania 9 with Steiners. Had a couple runs with tag titles. They did everything you could possibly want a tag team to do.
Who was it that the Head Shrinkers won and lost the belts to? I'm blanking off the top of my head.
They won the belts from...
Is it Demolition? No. That's too early.
Oh, that's way too early. They won the belts from the Quebecers, I believe. And they lost it to Sean and Diesel.
Huh. So, I mean, Wild Samoans are so Head Shrinkers.
A lot of old wrestling, right, Callum?
But if you could ask me what my memories of the Head Shrinkers are.
Yeah, I went, oh, never mind.
I definitely don't watch any from that era because everything sucked.
That is fair.
And looking at all the other options that we currently have for the tag team, I mean, I don't know much about the Islanders to suggest one way or the other, but I know that Gorillas of Destiny, at least for a time, were good.
Multiple time
IWGP tag team champions. We're going to see at least one of them pop up in WWE soon, so... Yeah, I mean, as I say, if we're going with like a more of an outsider-y one, then G.O.D. is probably the best fit out of all of them.
Isn't it weird that Tama Tonga is coming in and he is not the son of either of the person dubbed Tama and the Tonga kid?
I mean, he's not even technically the son of Haku. So.
The family tree is...
Hikuleo's the adopted
one. No, Tama's the adopted one. Hikuleo's his actual son.
this has always been one of the most confusing family tree things out there when we start getting into, like, you know, look at the graphic that they put on the press conference thing. It's like, here's people that are considered part of the family, but we have literally no connecting dot or line that can be like, okay, well, they're, you know, The Rock calls Tamina cousin, but it's like, technically, she's like a second cousin twice removed and, you know, somebody's barber or something like that. Like,
I got that slightly wrong. Both Tama Tonga and Hikuleo are adopted. Kamacho or Tonga Loa is his only legitimate son.
Oh, that's so unfortunate for him. Like,
that's so unfortunate for him. It's like he's got like a ranking system or whatever. Callum, you haven't seen Iron Claw yet, right?
No,
he's seen the trailer. It's true. He's seen the
line about the whole, like, everybody Kevin knows. The
favorite, yeah. Then David, then Kev, and Mike.
Yeah. That got a really good laugh of the whole, like, everybody knows that Kevin's my favorite. Like, you know? Imagine just being like that. It's like, you know, I've got, from my perspective, I've got three sons. My biological son's ranking the lowest or whatever. And there's always a part of me that wants Hikuleo to be Hakuleo, just because I'm, you know, like, I want to merge those two names in my brain. I think Gorillas of Destiny makes sense to be part of the tag team side of things. Like, I'd certainly go more for them, even with my little limited amount of knowledge, than to put, you know, Nia Jax and Tamina on that, or Rosie and Jamal. We spend enough time talking about the bad side of Rosie and Jamal to not be like, well, you know, maybe they should go in there. I don't think so. Gimmick wise, if we were to just, you know, ignore the idea of, you know, pure success and just talk about, like, you know, fun characters and fun means to utilize these men and women, maybe this necessarily translates all that well, because there's not a huge variety. It's pretty much like you got, like, The Rock had versatility to him, and you've got, like, the Samoan Savage idea that checks off a whole bunch of these. And then we start getting into the era where people don't really necessarily have gimmicks. Like, what gimmick does Roman Reigns have? He's just a guy. I don't know. Yokozuna is a gimmick.
Well, I think gimmick, top of the gimmick, would be Umaga. Because he's the best of the savages. Yoko would be a gimmick.
Good old Yoka.
My favorite Usos gimmick was when they came in and they were like, yeah, we're not Samoan Savages. And they don't make a splash until they start wearing face paint and doing the haka.
To be fair, they made a splash the very first night, because they did do
go splash from the top.
You fucking set me up for that one. Come on, you're gonna say the total package, and I'm not gonna say Lex Luger. Like,
so I would say that's tough, because when it comes to gimmicks, you get that era where nobody has them really fast. I would have to go with the Wild Samoans again. Because it's in the name. They were Wild Samoans.
I mean, if we had to pick one for the Samoan Savage thing,
I'd go
Umaga. There's Umaga, there's the Head Shrinkers, there's the Wild Samoans. I mean, you could kind of play into some of the other elements here and there, but like it doesn't really apply even to like many of the others. Like they don't book Solo Sikoa as a savage, for instance. He's the street fighter type guy, not like Guile, but you know what I mean.
Rikishi's ass. That was a gimmick.
Well, I was just gonna say I kind of lump The Rock and the Usos in the same territory as being like the cool guys. You know what I mean?
I would never class Jimmy Uso as the cool guy.
Yeah, you can't anymore, unfortunately.
No yeet.
No yeet.
But like, yeah, they've got that swag to them and the catchphrases and stuff. But given the option of those, like The Rock is more popular and everything. So it's like The Rock kind of gets that non-gimmick cool guy type thing. Yokozuna's got that. And then Rikishi, I guess, probably, right? Rikishi,
because he's got an ass.
I mean, they all have asses. But
not like his.
There's no ass like Rikishi's, that's for sure. And the other ones really stand out as another type of a gimmick, at least from my perspective. Any other arguments?
I mean, Ava had a gimmick, and then it went away.
She had an awful gimmick. It's so weird seeing her play this GM type role.
She's a theme song now. I noticed that last night. They gave her a theme song.
I thought it was interesting, too, that, like, anybody who didn't see NXT last night, Roxanne Perez cuts a promo talking about, like, you know, hey, everybody... badmouthed me and didn't give a shit when I lost my title and got stripped from it, whatever. And Ava comes out and she's like, when we made that decision, I wasn't GM at the time or whatever, but whatever. And I'm like, I still just do not buy this whole idea of like, I've got authority. I'm Ava, you know, she's doing better than she's ever done before, but it's, I don't know. It's a weird choice. She does technically have a gimmick, but I wouldn't put that above the other ones. I think Umaga, Yoko, Rock, and Rikishi is a solid thing with that, which, I mean, at that point, kind of puts us down into that outsiders category where we can play around with the names that are, you know, we're not putting in Roman Reigns or any of them. Although, I guess, could you make the argument Roman Reigns tribal chief gimmick? Now that I'm thinking about it, like, is that really necessarily a gimmick
worth it? It's more your swag.
Dude, go more like that. That's on par with The Rock.
Yeah.
What about you, Callum? You think that's same, or you think there's an argument to differentiate?
I mean, differentiate. It's like they're different gimmicks, but they're both gimmicks. I'd say that because the Rock like was a jock character. He was like a frat boy with huge muscles. That was essentially what his gimmick was. And Roman Reigns is at the time that he took on that gimmick was already like a well established veteran in WWE, just asserting his dominance over the company. They're two very, very different gimmicks.
Do you think it's worth Roman potentially unseating one of those four?
I'd say Rikishi, because Rikishi was just... fundamentally, Rikishi's gimmick was dancing fat guy.
And he... Who's done it better than...
No one, but yeah. But it's like, he is the epitome of dancing fat guy and probably the archetype for Vince's obsession with... dancing fat guy characters that came back over and over and over again, like Brodus Clay and stuff. But I'd say that Roman Reigns' character is more, is better than that.
I mean, Mabel was before Rikishi.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He was rapping fat guy.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't rap. He just danced.
Did he though? Or did he just like move his arms up and down?
Did he dance, Tony?
You can call that as much of a dance as you're going to get out of him, I think.
Off topic question, but I think it's an important one. Who was the better driver, Peter Maivia or Rikishi?
Uh, It depends. I guess Rikishi got the job done, according to at least by Triple H's standards.
That is true. James Bond did go on to live.
Yeah, big shout out to
well, Austin didn't die either.
Well, yeah, but he got hit.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore of Samoans in movies. Shit, you know what? Technically, we could have the Mount Rushmore of Samoan actors.
Oh, does Roman Reigns really count? Didn't have any line. He didn't have any lines in that movie.
He did the dance. He was the dancing guy.
He was in one of the Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah, that's the point. I'm saying he had no lines in that movie.
What was the movie that I never saw any of them?
Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, it was Hobbs and Shaw, wasn't it? Yeah.
Is there a fourth one on this list that actually has been in movies?
Naomi was in the Marine.
Was she?
Every WWE superstar at one point or another was in the Marine. Or, or whatever iteration. Like, was it like 12 rounds? There were like four movies of that. I'm sure every single WWE wrestler at one point or another has been in one of those two franchises.
There's a good chance we go through a lot of those movies this year, Caroline and I. We started to watch The Marine. We got like 5 minutes into it, and then we realized what time it was, so we're going to have to go back and start it again. But the 5 minutes that we had watched were enough for us to be like, this is fucking great, and how like god-awful it is.
The Marine getting super over on Netflix. Something I was not expecting. Like, people really went back and watched that. And kind of enjoyed it, I guess, because now from, you know, anything actively happening in wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no other ones that I can think of that are been in any of these movies. But
there was a movie called Body Slam in 1986, okay. Which had Roddy Piper in it and. Tanya Roberts, Dirk Benedict, Captain Urbano was in it as well, but also the Tonga Kid was in the movie as well, and he's a credited person in that movie.
Huh.
So yeah, if we were desperately trying to search for one, the Tonga Kid was in the movie.
Yeah, we got two James Bond actors on this the podcast we've talked about with Tanya Roberts for a second there. Well, on the Outsiders list, if we are limiting it to that group that's all, you know, the Snuka line, Haku, Naomi being a part of this through marriage, Rocky Johnson being a part of this through marriage, we got Nia Jax on there. Let's say we open up the bloodline to those, but we ignore all the other ones because obviously they would, you know, we already did the all-star list. Out of those, what would you do for Mount Rushmore? Would you give a spot to somebody like Rocky Johnson? Is Haku a guarantee, you know?
Haku would probably be a guarantee to me.
He'd be one of the names I'd pitch for sure. Because Haku's, you know, he's been a fun character. You're
putting Jimmy Snuka on any of these.
It's hard to try to put Snuka on there knowing what's going on. It's like a Chris Benoit situation and all. If you ignore that, Jimmy Snuka is an obvious one for being such a big character that was so important and all, but it's like, yeah, you know, you just kind of feel icky.
Yeah, I wouldn't sign off on putting Snuka on the list.
Snuka would be one of those ones where it's like, look, if you didn't have that going on, yeah, you'd be on there.
If he wasn't a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, let's put it that way, yeah. He didn't fucking kill somebody. He'd be on the Mount Rushmore list, just the same as if Chris Benoit.
He killed two people. So, yeah. You have to get that.
It's the whole argument that everybody always says.
Hold on, did you say he killed two people?
I might be confusing him with someone else. I think it's like, I thought it was like Nancy Antino and someone else that was associated with it as well. But to be fair, like, if you killed one, I wouldn't be surprised if you do more. But one that we are all aware of at the very least.
Shit, you kill an animal, you're on my shit list already. So. Yeah. yeah. But it's the argument that everybody always does when it's like, if Chris Benoit would have died from like a heart attack and not done what he did, would he be in the Hall of Fame? Fucking absolutely. He'd be in an Eddie Guerrero situation. But he did that, ruins everything. Jimmy Snuka was never one of my more popular favorite guys. Like, I can't tell you a single instance that I can ever be like, man, Jimmy Snuk is top of my my list or anything. I always kind of, you know, we joked before many times in the past about like that I, as a kid, I would get for some reason Tito Santana and Ricky Steamboat mixed up. Jimmy Snuka was in like a group of guys like that where it was like, yeah, all right, they're all legends, but I, you know, I can't tell you my favorite Tito Santana match, for instance, and I can't tell you my favorite Jimmy Snuka match, but I don't feel right putting him on an outsider list like that when there's some other options. Like, I think at this point, you know, Naomi has reached a level that I'd put her on there.
Yeah, Naomi's probably.
Naomi, really?
Oh, look at the list that we're working on.
I mean,
with.
Out of the list that he's given.
Well, I'd say definitely at least ahead of her are both Tama Tonga and Bad Luck Fale. They're both founding members of the Bullet Club.
Does that beat out winning the women's championship and all, though?
Yeah. Well, being founding members of the biggest wrestling stable outside of WWE, arguably in history. Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, that's... Isn't Finn Balor the reason for the whole, like, the leader of the whole group from the start?
There's four people that started the group. It's not like one person said, hey, let's form Bullet Club, and then they all joined up. They all formed Bullet Club together. It was Prince Devitt, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Carl Anderson. They're the four founders of Bullet Club. So yeah, I'd say that. And also, Tama Tonga's won multiple championships in New Japan Pro Wrestling, as has Bad Luck Fale, he's an Intercontinental Champion there. I'd say that beats out two utterly forgettable women's title reigns. Arguably, Naomi's probably the biggest reason she'd be put on this list is for her work in TNA rather than WWE.
Well, she's what, a two-time WWE Women's Champion?
Yeah, but as I say, like, who really remembers anything that she did other than make the title glow?
Well, Tama Tonga, Bad Luck Fale, and Haku, who would you be your fourth if you didn't go with Naomi?
I'd say Nia Jax, probably. Yeah. Be Naomi. I think that she has always been treated as a more serious threat than Naomi ever was. Consistently booked better than Naomi.
I just want to read this verbatim as it's written on Wikipedia because it pops me. Dwayne Johnson considers Haku his uncle, Haku's sons, Alapate, known as Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Hikuleo, and their cousin, Bad Luck Fale, have all wrestled for New Japan. So Bad Luck Fale is there because he's a cousin of the Tongan. That's how he connects. Trying to keep track of the bloodline here. I'd say Nia Jax over Naomi.
Would you, Rob, also say Naomi off the list, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga in the group of the four? Or would you make the argument for bumping one of those and putting Naomi in there?
Fale has done quite a lot. I don't know, if I was going to bump either of them, it'd be Fale, but I'm all right with keeping him on, I guess. If it was going to be like a come down to my vote, I'd probably keep him on.
So that would make it Haku, Nia, Tama Tonga, Bad Luck Fale. For both your sides, right? For you two?
Yeah,
I'd say so. And also, they're at least in some way kind of blood related to the other ones, whereas Naomi isn't in kind of any way blood related.
Yeah, take that, Rocky Johnson. I mean, Rocky Johnson's got his issues too and everything. As far as I'm concerned, I can't think of any other kind of variations to go with on the Mount Rushmore list. we're working with a limited amount of people here too. So it's not like we've got the wide variety of, like, we're ranking everybody that's ever won the WWE tag team titles where you got hundreds of names, or, if we ever did like the Mount Rushmore of Intercontinental Champions or something, we've got a whole lot to work with. Samoan family is big, very confusing, but in the grand scheme of things, you're working with a group of about six or seven people that you're really kind of focusing on, and those are the most obvious ones, you know, The Rock, Roman Reigns, Yokozuna, The Usos, which happen to be our mainstays for the A and B tier. Any other kind of offshoots or anything you guys can think of?
No, I think this is a pretty fun discussion about a family with a lot of history, but seemingly not a lot of depth when it comes to star power.
They've got a lot to show for this family, but for mostly just a few people having,
like, three people.
Yeah. It's like, wow, all these championships that are shared within them. And it's like, yeah, how many are them in The Rock or something?
Because the four Roman and the Usos being together on screen, it wasn't like, you know, people were going out of their way to be like, yeah, Yokozuna is related to the Head Drinkers. Rock and Rikishi are related. Mm-hmm. I think they did eventually get there with the whole I did it for The Rock thing. But it wasn't like the bloodline
It
is now.
Not in the same sense as, like, the Hart family, where that was, like, you know, right out of the gate, you knew that this was this big family dynasty and all, which that's, of course, another option for us to do in the future. If you guys want us to do Mount Rushmore of the Hart family, we can start debating about that. Obviously, Brett just becomes, like, the lock-in, and you start going, like, Owen and Natty and, you know, Bulldog and Neidhart and all the different names that we got on there. It could be another fun discussion in the future if you guys really like this one. Obviously, let us know.
There's a lot more meat on that bone, too.
Is there?
I think it's like, it's similar in some ways where you start getting into, like...
Hold on. Real quick. What are your four for the Mount Rushmore of the Hart family?
Well, Brett, Owen... Probably Bulldog and Stu, probably.
Tony?
I don't think I would have I'd have to probably, like, really think about it. Brett and Owen would be two of my locks. Bulldog would probably be in there, but then I think you can kind of debate a lot of different people because you can start into Natty.
I immediately thought Brett, Owen, Natty, and Stu.
And, of course, there's going to be some people out there that are like, do you count the outsider Brian Pillman, which I wouldn't. And then you get into, you know, if we did, like, the separate lists as well, like the worst and the tag teams and all, because, you know, tag team would be an interesting one to go in there because you got Brett and you got Neidhart, you got Owen and Bulldog, you got Tyson Kidd and D.H. Smith and, you know.
There's some meat on the bone.
Yeah, I mean, that's it would be another discussion point for sure for a future episode. Maybe even a dark cast in the future if you guys want that or something like that. But there's always pick your poison tier if you specifically want to be like, nope, go ahead and do that. I want you guys to get into that debate or whatever. I don't think that there's any other kind of family groups that we could have a Mount Rushmore discussion on because it's not like we can do like the Mount Rushmore of Flares. And we can't do a Mount Rushmore of the Rhodes family. When there's three, it's just those three. And then, I guess you throw Brandy in there by default. And, you know, Pharaoh is number five. It's kind of, you know, a lot of families in pro wrestling are not, you know, they're not deep enough for us to have that kind of field of discussion. But
they may be royal families, but they're not, there's not a lot of depth.
Yeah, that's for sure. But this one was one that, you know, maybe this is the height of what the NYE family ends up being at right now compared to what they've done in the past. They're headlining WrestleMania in a way that it's putting a lot of focus on the family. You got Jay is killing it. Jimmy's there. it sounded so dismissive. I didn't mean it like that. But you know, Jimmy's there, Solo's there, you know, we might end up getting somebody like a Jacob Fatu or whatever joining the company, and you know, Tama Tonga and all those themes. So and even Nia Jax is doing some good stuff nowadays, so yeah, it's a good time for the Bloodline, and I figured now was probably the best time for us to take care of this. And we want to know what your thoughts are, of course, so drop your thoughts in the comment section below. What did we pick that you think was a little bit off the beaten track? What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? Any of those kind of things. If you do have any other suggestions of other groupings, you know, we can try to keep that discussion going in the comments section or something. If you want to be like, you know, well, if you want to switch it around, and what would you have for the Mount Rushmore in this kind of theme when it comes to the Bloodline? I don't know. I think we kind of tapped out at all those resources that we can at least think of right now. But, yeah. Play around with that if that's the case. So if you are over there leaving those comments, remember, of course, hit the like button if you enjoyed this video. Helps us out quite a bit. Double check that you are subscribed. Ring that little notification bell. Click on the join button. Click on the thanks button. Do all that good stuff. So show your support for everything on smartoutmoment.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at smartoutmoment. Follow fanboysanonymous.com as well for everything that's happening on the Blue brand. Check out the stuff that's over on the link tree that you can find at amangotree.com. You will see the links to Smart Cow Moment, Fanboys Anonymous, and other things that are out there. For the most part, follow me at ToeKneeMango at all these different accounts that I, you know, sometimes post on and sometimes don't bother to do at all. You know, it's not really nothing that I ever do on my Instagram, but if you want to follow it, go ahead. Yeah, it's, I post about like once a year, I think, on that. And, you know, Letterboxd and so on and so forth. But if you're out there following all the Tony Mango stuff, you should be following the Robert E. Felice stuff and the Callum Wiggins stuff.
Yeah, you can follow Robert E. Felice everywhere at Dude Felice. You can check out my work on Fightful.com. If you are checking out Fanboys Anonymous, which you should check out our latest watch along, which was Ricky Stenicki featuring John Cena and Zac Efron. Had a good time laughing at that movie. And yeah, you should also check out what Callum Wiggins got going on.
You can follow me on Twitter at WigMaster14. Check out the power rankings every single weekend over on smartcommember.com. I rank the WWE superstars based on their previous week performances. And then follow the Fantasy League over at WWEFantasyLeague.com, also through SmartCat Moment, where you can check out how our team's performing, who's been picking up points every single show as we lead up to WrestleMania, where our winner of this year's season will be crowned.
No adjustments yet on the trades based off of adding some more matches to the card.
I think we're just waiting until I'm just going to wait until the week before WrestleMania and then pick a couple of extra people, just because like there is no way of knowing who's going to be on the card.
Yeah, this card's changing quite a bit as, you know, these weeks go by. Yeah, I don't think any of us really had the idea in mind that they were going to have a 6-pack ladder match for the tag titles.
A ladder match, that's a lot.
It's got to be to split up the belts and to do some kind of weird gimmicky thing with the ladder concept.
Just to get more people on the show.
Yeah, I mean, could just be that. Could be it's a means for them to be like, how do we have a clusterfuck? You know what I mean? But of course, we'll talk that more in detail when it gets to the hot tags and way more detail when we get into the predictions for WrestleMania and we actually have, you know, the teams locked in and all that, but that stuff is coming up in the future. So stay tuned for all that stuff. We've got no necessary other podcasts coming on this week other than the hot tags, but we might get around to doing the dark cast this week. If we do, that'll be most likely next, but maybe not. I don't know. Some point we're going to do Hall of Fame for that, so stay tuned and check out the Darkcast by subscribing to those tiers on either one of those platforms. And then, you know, just stay tuned in general. Just subscribe. Hang around here. Check out some old podcasts and everything like that. The more the better. And, of course, we will see you in whatever next thing is that you click on, everybody. But thank you for your support for this video. Adios for now. This has been another Smart Out Moment, and we are being counted out.